Called disappointed with God. I want to talk to you today about how to deal with disappointment. We've preached through the book of Jonah, and as we come to chapter number 4, it's interesting. For me, if the book of Jonah had ended in chapter number 3, Jonah would have went down as the greatest prophet in Israel's history. He preached one message, 5 words long, and some of you have been insistent to remind me about that every time I preach. I'll have you know. But he preached one message, 5 words long, and over 120,000 people repented and turned to the Lord. That's unbelievable. And a part of me wishes that Jonah ended in Jonah chapter 3, but it didn't end, because God, who inspired the scriptures, has something more he wants to teach us in Jonah chapter number 4. And so let's read on in the book of Jonah here to discover, as we have seen already in a week previous, let's read on in the book of Jonah to discover more what happens next in this story. Jonah chapter 4 and verse 1, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
The Bible says, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before thee unto Tarshish. For I knew thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." What in the world happened here? I've said this before, but I'll say it again. What kind of preacher gets up and preaches, and when people respond, says, "Oh, God, I knew they were going to do that. I knew they were going to get saved if I preached to them. I knew they were going to get right with you if I preached to them." What kind of preacher does that? Jonah's in an interesting predicament here. What in the world happened to old Jonah? Well, in a phrase, this is what happened. Old Jonah got disappointed with God. Have you ever been disappointed with God? Maybe you have. Maybe you haven't. You didn't realize you have. I want you to think about it with me this morning. Have you ever been disappointed with God? One person said, "Disappointment happens anytime things don't work out the way you wanted them to or expected them to." God often works in ways that we don't expect. In fact, we could probably say God always works in ways we don't expect. He doesn't do things like you do them. He doesn't think about things like you think about them. He's seeing things on a whole different plane that you cannot possibly understand in your finite human mind, and nor can I. So the fact is, from time to time in our lives, it's unavoidable we're going to face seasons of disappointment. When God doesn't do what you expected Him to do, that's when you'll be disappointed. I want to ask you this before we pray and dig into what the Lord has for us here. Is it possible that you are disappointed with God today for some reason? Something that's taken place in your life, you didn't expect it, you wonder why God's allowing it to happen. Is it possible you're disappointed with God today? Well, if you're in that case, we're going to look at Jonah and learn from Jonah's life story here, and we're going to discover 3 truths you need to understand when you're disappointed with God. Let's pray and ask God to speak to our hearts before we jump into this. Father, we sure need your help here today, and I pray, God, with the time that we have remaining, that you would give me ability to be able to declare your truth one more time, Lord. And I pray, God, that you would speak to the hearts of every person that is here. Lord, I pray that you would work beyond my capacity and do something that only you can do. And Lord, I believe this is a message that's very needed for this time that we're going to spend together. And I pray, God, that you would use it as you see fit. And these things we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
3 truths you must understand when you are disappointed, and in particular, when you're disappointed with God. Number 1, if you're taking notes this morning, you must understand the presence of disappointment. The presence of disappointment. As we read in the book of Jonah here, and we read the biblical narrative about Jonah's life, it seems that this disappointment came upon Jonah unexpectedly. It seems like it comes out of nowhere. You're reading the end of chapter 3, everybody gets saved, awesome. You expect to go on to the next chapter, and read some positive things. But that's not what happened. And you read those first verses, and you begin to realize this disappointment came upon Jonah from avenues that we never could have foretold, or we never could have predicted. For example, I believe that we see that he was disappointed because his perception was wrong. God didn't do what he thought God was going to do. He thought God was going to judge Nineveh, and that's what he wanted God to do. And God didn't do that, and so he was disappointed because his perception was wrong. He was also disappointed because of his pride. He was a prophet. He had got up and made a prophecy. 40 days, you're all going to be destroyed. And it didn't happen. That wounded him. He was disappointed because of his pride. The third reason I believe we see in the text for why he was disappointed was because of an unhealthy patriotism. Now, this isn't popular to talk about, but Jonah would rather all of his enemies die than God save them. And I dare say that sometimes our disappointments in life, and when we look at the political world today, comes because we're not willing to accept what God's plan is, and we want to tell God what His plan should be. I'll amen myself on that, okay? But Jonah's disappointments came from all different types of angles. And really, as you read the biblical narrative, it seems like it comes on Jonah unexpectedly here. But it is an inescapable fact that all of us, from all different sorts of ways in life, are sometimes going to face disappointments. The Bible says in Job chapter number 14 and verse 1 that man that is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. We don't have time to belabor this, but the types of disappointments you can face are innumerable. They can come from all different types of angles. But listen to me on this. What makes disappointment even harder to face is when it seems to be coming from the very hand of God. It's one thing when someone else disappoints you, but when God disappoints you, that's harder. God, why did you let my loved one die? Why did you let them get sick? I took a stand for doing what was right and I still lost my job. God, why did you let that happen? See, it's harder when it seems like it's coming from God. And this is where Jonah's at. He's looking at the situation and he's saying, God, this isn't what's supposed to happen. Why did you do this, God? He's disappointed with God. What is disappointment? I had someone tell me this one time. They said disappointment is essentially a rejection. All right? Disappointment. It is your own personal appointment with being dissed. Okay? And the fact of the matter is, none of us like or want to be rejected by God. None of us want to be dissed by God. But it's going to happen sometimes. There are going to be some circumstances in our life where we feel like we're disappointed. And it'll come from all different types of angles. And so we see the presence of disappointment. But the second truth you need to understand if you're going to face the disappointments in your life is this. You need to understand the product of disappointment. The product of disappointment. You see, though Jonah didn't want to acknowledge his disappointment, the fact that he wouldn't acknowledge his disappointment led to some serious consequences in his life. He didn't want to admit that what he wanted to happen didn't happen. And because he was unwilling to admit that, it led to some devastating consequences in his life. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse number 28 says that he that has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Jonah had no rule over his own spirit here. He allowed his spirit to drop to the depths once again, just like he dropped to the depths in the belly of that whale. Now his spirit drops to the depths again, and he begins to experience some emotions in his life that came as a consequence of that, that he should never have had to experience. It's because he was disappointed with God. I'm going to tell you something. You're not careful. When you face disappointments, your spirit will sink as well, and you'll start experiencing some of these very things as well. And I want you to understand what they are here this morning. What was the product of the disappointment in Jonah's life? And what will be the product of disappointment in your own life? Write these down for me this morning if you would. The first product of disappointment we find here is disillusionment. Disillusionment. This is what happens when you are injured by God's choice. By what God has chosen to do. And for Jonah, his disappointment was rooted and a great misunderstanding of God. In verse number 1, if you look back there with me, the Bible says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly. The word displeased, it means grieved. And the word exceedingly, it comes from two Hebrew words, gadal ra. And it's literally talking about a great evil. What it's talking about there is, what was happening in Jonah's heart is he was grieved by what he perceived to be a great evil that was taking place. You see, Jonah was just convinced. He knew what God should have done. All right, God, I know what you're doing here, but that's not what you're supposed to do. This is what you're supposed to do. Because of his disillusionment, because of his false perception of who God is and what God should do, all of a sudden, he becomes disappointed with God. You see, Jonah grew up on the northern border of Israel. I think we have a map of Israel here this morning. You want to throw it on the screen. But he grew up on the northern border of Israel, and from where Nineveh was to the north, oftentimes the Assyrians would probably come down and raid the northern border of Israel. Jonah grew up probably seeing France and a country, his fellow countrymen being raided, being attacked, being killed, being murdered, all different types of things at the hands of the Assyrians. And so Jonah had an inbred antagonism in his heart towards the people of Nineveh, towards the people of Assyria. And so as all of these things are taking place, Jonah just knows what God needs to do. God, you need to judge these people. You know what they've done to my country. You know what they've done to our people. You need to judge these people. Why aren't you judging these people? And because he had convinced himself of who God is and what God should do, his disappointment came as a result of his disillusionment. Interesting thing to me is God was not neglecting judgment. He was delaying it to show mercy. 150 years later, he did judge Assyria for their sins when they returned back to their wicked ways. But Jonah couldn't see things from an eternal perspective. He could only see it from a temporal perspective. And so his disillusionment led him, it was a product of, I should say, his disappointment. And in every case, when you are disappointed, it will come first of all because of some sort of disillusionment in your life. In some way, you've misunderstood who God is and how God works. Can I just encourage you with something? Stop trying to fit God inside your little box. This is God. This is who you are, and this is how you're supposed to be. God has no boundaries. And God is not limited to the finiteness of your perspective. He's a lot greater. He's a lot higher. You'd be a lot better if you just get on board with him instead of trying to have him get on board with you. Disillusionment was the first product of disappointment, but the second product of disappointment was doubt. Verse number 2. The Bible says he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. Here's what happened for Jonah. Jonah sticks his finger up in the face of God and essentially tells God, I told you this is what would happen. And in the midst of what's happening, because it wasn't what he expected it should be, he starts to doubt God. He starts to doubt if he can trust God. He starts to doubt the purposes of God. He starts to doubt God's word and God's purpose and God's plan. And you listen to me on this right here. When you misunderstand what God is doing, it is so easy to start doubting him. And the problem with doubting is doubting makes you unstable. It makes you hesitate to trust God. You know where doubt is rooted at? Fear. When you're fearful, you'll become doubtful. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. You're hesitating between, can I trust God, can I not trust God, going your own way and doing what God's telling you to do? That's a dangerous place to be. That's an unstable place to be. And I'll tell you something, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Your fear and doubt is not coming from God, it's coming from your insecurity and your distrust of God. When you are discouraged, when you are disappointed, you'll come to a place of doubting the Lord. Beware, it's a result of being disappointed. You don't want to trust God anymore. You don't know if you can trust God anymore because he didn't come through for you the way that you thought he should. Disillusionment, doubt. A third product of disappointment is disgust. This is interesting. Look at verse 1 again. The Bible says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was what? Oh, we're going to be here a long time if you don't help me out here this morning, all right? He was what? All right, you're about to get very angry with me, okay? Now calm down. He was very angry. And he goes on at the end of verse 2 in his prayer, and he says, "For I knew that you're a gracious God and merciful and slow to anger and of great kindness, and you repent of the evil." And Jonah here is essentially looking at God and saying, "God, how could you do this? How could you not judge Nineveh? Aren't you a just God? Well, I knew that you're gracious and merciful, and that I just knew that if they asked you to forgive them, that you would. I just knew that's the kind of God that you are." And he's pointing his finger at God. Now, you know, normally, when someone would say words like this, they'd be singing praise to God. But Jonah's actually criticizing God for being good. He's actually criticizing God for being merciful. Can you imagine it? He's disgusted with God. We could put it this way. Jonah was mad at God for being God. You ever been mad at God for being God? How could you be that for them? The interesting thing about it is, if God had been the same way to Jonah as Jonah wanted God to be to Nineveh, Jonah would have died in the belly of the whale. We want God to be good to us and bad to people we don't like. That's the problem. We get disgusted with God when he doesn't treat other people the way we think he should treat other people or the way we want to treat other people. That's why Jesus said, "Don't treat people the way you think they should be treated. You treat people the way I would treat them." Okay? That's a whole different level right there. He's disgusted with God. It's a product of his disappointment. A fourth product of his disappointment is this. We see the Bible next tells us here that he was disappointed with God, and it led to the product of dissension. Dissension. He becomes insubordinate to God's course. Verse number 3, look at what he said again. "Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." He's dissenting here. He said, "You know what, I'd rather just be out." Jonah was done at this point. He was just done. He didn't want to be a part of God's plan anymore. At this point, he viewed himself as a failed prophet because the prophecy that he had given had not come into pass. And so he literally asked God here to kill him. He concluded that his life was better off, that life would be better off if he was no longer living in this world. That's the conclusion that he came to. And we could put it this way, Jonah, don't miss this, Jonah didn't want to live in a world that didn't function how he thought it should. He didn't want to live in a world anymore that didn't function how he thought it should. You know what? If I can't be with that person, then I'm done. If I can't work that job, then I'm done. It's better for me to die than to live. You ever been there before? That's where Jonah was at. And some of you are facing disappointment right now. You have in the past. You know exactly what I'm talking about. He's ready to dissent. He's ready to say, "I'm out. I'm done. I'm done with church. I'm done with God. I'm done with it all. It's better for me to be gone. It's better for me not even be in this world anymore." That's the place that Jonah finds himself in. And so disappointment, it can literally cause you to want to quit. And it often does. It can even convince you that this world is better off without you. You know what? Just be better if I wasn't here. Right? Just be better off if I wasn't here. It can make you believe that a death outside of God's will is better than living a life within it. That's what disappointment can do. Well, if that's what God's will is, I don't want anything to do with it. I'd rather go off and do what I want and die outside of God's will than live inside a will of God that I don't understand or that I don't agree with. That's the place Jonah was at, and boy, it's so easy to get there. So I wonder, has your disappointment caused you to want to dissent today, to quit, to walk away? It did for Jonah, it will for you. And I'll just say this very frankly here. Quitting is for cowards. I don't belittle your situation. And friend, I love you in Jesus' name. But quitting is for cowards. Suicide is for cowards. Now, you might have someone in your life that has done that. And I understand there are sometimes some medical and mental struggles that people have that lead them to make preemptive decisions. And so understand that caveat to what I'm saying here. But for those of you that are among the living here today, that's the easy way out. That's not God's way out. It's important you understand that here this morning. The Bible says if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. It says in Proverbs 24:10, a just man falls 7 times, and guess what? He gets up again. That's God's course. And so we see another product of this disappointment is he's wanting to dissent. A fifth product of this disappointment is depression. depression. That's when you become isolated from God's counsel. Now look at verse number 4 with me, if you would. Y'all with me still? Say amen if you are. Amen. The Bible says, "Then the Lord said, doest thou well to be angry?" In other words, God, in His mercy, He could have just said, "Jonah, I'm done with you. You're gone." He didn't do that. He didn't condemn Jonah. He asked him a question to convict him, though. He said, "Doest thou well to be angry?" In other words, God said, "Are you really doing the right thing here, Jonah? Is this really the right thing for you to do? To be mad at me for saving people?" No, he didn't. He didn't put that phrase in there. He just wanted Jonah to think about it. "You doing the right thing here? Doest thou well to be angry?" And boy, Jonah, in response to God speaking to him, you know what he does? He didn't talk to God. He marches out of the city. He goes and he sits down under a tree. He folds his arms, I imagine, and just sits there and says, "You know what? I hope they all die." Look at verse number 5. Verse number 5, the Bible says, "So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city." Jonah's depressed here. "I don't want to listen to God. I don't want to be around these Ninevites." He had just preached this message, and all these people had gotten right with God. Can you imagine how popular he was? They want to talk about God. They want to know more about Jonah's God, and Jonah's saying, "I don't want to be around this. I could care less about you people. I'm getting out of here." He goes and finds a place outside the city. He doesn't want to be around anybody. He doesn't want to hear God's voice. He's trying to get away from God's voice. Where is he? He's depressed. And listen, when you become disappointed with God, if you don't deal with it, it's so easy to get to the point of being depressed. And depression comes when you are constantly down in your spirit and when you lose interest in all activities in life. Depression comes when you don't want to let anybody in. "I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to be around anybody." Now, some of you are just a recluse by nature. It doesn't necessarily mean you're depressed. But boy, when you do become depressed, you don't want to let anybody into your life, especially God. And that's the most dangerous thing about depression. You need God more desperately than ever in moments when you're depressed and you don't want anything to do with Him. That's a product of your disappointment. You're mad at God, you're disappointed with God, and now you don't want to let Him in. Now you don't want Him to work in your life. What's another product of disappointment? Denial. In those same verses that we looked at here, God tries to speak to Jonah. God tries to help Jonah understand His purposes. Jonah goes and sits outside the city and folds his arm. The Bible literally says at the end of verse 5 that he's just waiting to see what would happen to the city. But God already told him what was going to happen to the city. They were saved. They were delivered. But Jonah's in denial. He doesn't want to accept it. I just can't believe that God won't judge them. I'm going to sit here for 40 more days. I'm going to see if God will rain down hellfire and brimstone on these people. I just can't believe that God would do this. He's in denial. You know what denial is? Denial is the first stage of grief. Jonah's grieving. What is he grieving? He's grieving the fact that God didn't do what he wanted him to do. He's disappointed. And grief is a natural emotion that we face as human beings. But if you don't handle your grief properly, it can lead you in all different types of directions. Jonah here did not show us a proper way of handling grief. In the midst of his hurt and his confusion, he didn't handle it the way that he was supposed to handle it. And I wonder, you're facing disappointment today if you aren't grieving the loss of what you thought God should have done. You continue to live in denial. The sad thing about it is you'll never be able to see what God's purpose was supposed to be. Imagine if Jonah lived the rest of his life denying God's purposes, denying God's plan in that, just not willing to accept what God had done. He never would have been able to come around full circle and see that God's purpose was to save the people of Nineveh and to use the people of Nineveh and Jonah to be a message to his own people. And it's a sad thing that so many people, when they get disappointed with God, they live in denial, not willing to accept what God did. Don't live in that place. That's a dangerous place for you to get to. To overcome denial, you're going to have to accept a few things. You're going to have to accept that God is still good, and even though you can't understand that His purposes for you are still good. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, and not of evil, to give you an expected end." You may not understand what God's doing, but God knows what He's doing. He knows where He's taking you. The product of disappointment is denial, but a final product of disappointment, and this is a hard one, it's detachment. is when you become insensitive to God's compassion. Now, for sake of time this morning, I'm just going to read the rest of the story, explain a few things to you. Verse number 6, the Bible says, "And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it come up over Jonah that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad because of the gourd." Now, I don't have time to park here very long, but we do have a picture of this Middle Eastern plant that the Hebrew word is talking about here, that most scholars believe. And the name of it's slipping my mind, but it doesn't matter right now. But this plant is a plant that actually grows up very quickly. And it's known by several different names. One of the names I found to be interesting about this plant is that they call it the Palma Christi, the palm of Christ, because of its ability to produce an oil that heals people's wounds. God brings up the Palma Christi in the middle of Jonah's disappointment to comfort Jonah. But then the next day, notice what happens in verse number 7. "But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered." Uh-oh. "It came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind. The sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished in himself to die and said, 'It is better for me to die than to live.' And God said to Jonah, 'Doest thou well to be angry for the gourd?' And he said, 'I do well to be angry, even unto death.'" In other words, he said, "God, I'm going to be angry, and even if you kill me, I'm still going to be angry." Just immature, spiritually and literally. Immature. Then God comes to him in verse 10 and says, "Thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city where are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, between wrong and right, in other words, and also much cattle?" Here's what happened for old Jonah. Jonah, because he was so disappointed with God, his disappointment literally led him to a place where he became detached from God's purposes. Spiritually, in spiritual terms, we might call this apathy. We might literally say, he didn't care anymore. "God, I don't care if millions of people die and go to hell. You took my tree away." Now, how foolish is that? "Where's my tree, God? People are dying and going. People could possibly die and go to hell. You're mad at God for saving people. And then you're mad at God because he took away your comfort tree?" He's apathetic. "I don't even care. I don't care about what you care about anymore, God. I don't care if you save people. I don't care if they die and go to hell. I don't care." He's apathetic. And that's where disappointment with God will eventually lead you to if you are not careful. You'll get to a place, you don't care. "I don't care about what God's purposes are anymore. All right? God failed me, and so I don't care what he wants. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to listen to him." That's a product of disappointment. And if you are apathetic in your life here today, you listen to me. You trace that back somewhere in your past, you got disappointed. And that disappointment has led you to the place where you're sitting at today where you don't care. You don't care about the things of God. You don't care about the purposes of God. You don't care about what God's word says about the life you're living right now. Because the life you're living right now is not right. It's sinful and you know it. You're living in sin and you don't care what God has to say about it. You know why you're there? Some sort of disappointment in your past. And so I said we're going to look at three truths about disappointment. I'll have to summarize the last one very quickly. We see that there is the presence of disappointment. We're all going to face it. There's the products of disappointment, which we've already looked at. The last thing I want you to see is the prescription for disappointment. Now, it's interesting to me, as we look at the story of Jonah, sadly, we don't really get a good example of how to deal with disappointment. It seems like the story just abruptly ends, and Jonah is none the wiser for everything that took place. But you know what we do see? What we do see is how God worked to help Jonah through his disappointment. One person said this. He said, "God was as patient with Jonah as he was with Nineveh." Jonah thought the problem was with Nineveh, but really the problem was with him. I'm glad that God's a patient God. As we look how God worked in the heart of this resentful prophet, we learn something about how God wants to help you and I through our disappointments as well. And so what's the prescription for disappointment? How can you deal with the disappointment that you're facing today biblically? There's five steps, and I'll be very brief with these. The first thing you need to do if you're going to deal, and by the way, it was Pastor Steve Chappell that helped me with understanding these five things I'm about to share with you. But the first one of these steps that you need to take if you're going to deal with your disappointment is you need to review it. You need to review the disappointment. Notice again what the Lord told Jonah in verse 4. Then the Lord said to Jonah, "Doest thou well to be angry?" Jonah, are you doing the right thing here? God could have just come down with a thundery voice from heaven and said, "Jonah, you're wrong!" He didn't do that. Because he wanted Jonah to think about it. You doing the right thing? God wanted Jonah to review his disappointment, in other words. And hear me out on this. When you experience disappointment, you need to stop and ask yourself, how did I get here? Where were the unmet expectations I had that led me to the place where I'm experiencing these products of disappointment? You need to review the disappointment. Sometimes you'll find when you review the disappointment that your disappointment was unwarranted and unfair, like it was in Jonah's case. Other times you'll review the disappointment like Job did and say, listen, this is warranted. I wasn't sinning. I wasn't doing anything wrong. And trouble still came. That's what Job said. But in any case, it will help you to review the disappointment so you can understand it. So number one, you've got to review the disappointment. The psalmist said in Psalm 42 and verse 5, he said, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me?" In other words, what's causing all this trouble in my heart? Review the disappointment. The second thing I'd say is you need to relax. Would you just relax? In the time of your disappointment, chill out. Disappointment will cause you to want to take extreme measures. There's a very large pendulum that can happen when people get disappointed. Well, if they did that to me, then I'm going to do this to them. We can do that with God, too. This is what happened with Jonah. His pendulum swung so far, he's thinking about suicide. If that's how God's going to be, then I'm better off dead. That's the place that Jonah got to. In the midst of his disappointment, in verse 6, we've already seen that God met Jonah in a silent and unnoticed way. You know what God did? God raised up a gourd, a little tree, to give Jonah some shade. You know what God was telling Jonah to do? Just sit down and relax. Would you calm down? All right? But that's so much what we need to do when we face disappointment. We need to review the disappointment, yes, but then you got to pause for a second. You're frustrated. You're going to make unwise decisions in the middle of your disappointment that you're going to regret for the rest of your life. One person said, in disappointment, you often overestimate what you lost and you underestimate what God is doing through it. It happens. We often think it's a whole lot worse than what it is. We think that God can't possibly make anything good out of it. You like to think that because your expectations weren't met, nothing could possibly be better. It's almost like God's promises. Well, I just throw these out the window. This is no good anymore. God didn't come through for me. That's what we do. We're disappointed. And that's why God says, will you just sit down? Will you just relax? Will you just wait and let me show you what I'm doing here? All right, review the disappointment. Relax. The third thing I'd say is this. You need to rely. Rely on the Lord in the face of your disappointment. And sadly, when we look at this here, this is exactly what we see Jonah not doing. And I've had a lot of people ask me this, and so I'll go ahead and break the news to you here. What happened to old Jonah? Okay? After Jonah, Jonah chapter 4 and verse 11, what happened to him next? Well, most commentators agree that Jonah was the one who wrote the book of Jonah. So here's my opinion. And most commentators that I've read have the same line of thinking because Jonah was the one who wrote the book of Jonah. At some point, as Jonah took that, what some think to be about a 20 to 30 day journey from Nineveh back to Gath Hepher, where his home was, he's marching, and at some point, his anger turned to repentance. And he realized how foolish he had been. One of the reasons we believe that to be so is because when he got back to Gath Hepher and his countrymen saw him, this dude, no hair, bleached white skin, when he told them he's Jonah, they ask, who are you? And he tells them he's Jonah. And Jonah begins to open, and they ask him, what happened to you? Jonah begins to open his mouth and tell them. How does it begin? Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto me, the son of Amittai, saying, he started telling them what happened to him. You know what? The story Jonah tells about himself is not glamorous. Right? You don't read the book of Jonah and think, man, Jonah's such a great person. But Jonah knew that God wanted to use him to preach a message to his own people, Israel. Because just as he had been resistant to God's will and was unwilling to repent and accept the Lord's will, Israel had been the same way. And they needed to repent. And Jonah's life was to be a message to his own people. And Jonah went home, and God used him to write the book of Jonah and preach the book of Jonah to his own people. I believe at some point Jonah came around to a place where he did start relying on the Lord again, because God used him to write this book of the Bible. And can I tell you something? There is no better person in this universe to depend on than the Lord. You're disappointed, I understand that. You're doing yourself a favor by just choosing to trust God in the midst of your disappointment. All right? Review the disappointment. Relax. Rely on the Lord. The fourth thing I'd say that you need to do is this. You need to recalibrate. Recalibrate. See, after you began to process your disappointment and have chosen to trust the Lord, you need to allow God's Spirit to use God's Word to recalibrate your perspective. In other words, to get you back thinking the way that you need to be thinking. Once Jonah got past his disappointment, I believe he went on to realize that God wanted to use his struggles with rebellion and resentment to preach a message to his own people who were rebellious and resentful against Jehovah God as well. I believe Jonah came around to a place where he eventually understood, this is why God allowed me to go through this. And his whole perspective was changed. And the same thing I'd say needs to happen in your life today. What you need to do in order to truly face your disappointment is to begin to process what your life is going to look like after your disappointment. See, so for so many people, they're disappointed and they want to live in the past for the rest of their days. That's not what God wants you to do. God didn't let you have that. It's time to accept it and trust Him. And look at what your life is going to look like beyond it now. Guess what? God's still good. His purposes for you are still good. If God didn't give you what you thought you wanted, that just means He has something a whole lot better for you. Eye has not seen nor ear heard the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. We know that all things work together for good to them who love God and are called according to His purposes. You can trust Him. You need to change your perspective. You know, you didn't get what you wanted, but God has something better for you. Recalibrate. The fifth thing you need to do is this. Resume. Life for Jonah did not end at the end of the book of Jonah. He didn't die. He went on. He went on to write the book of Jonah. In fact, when we read about Jonah in the New Testament later, Jesus actually speaks favorably of him. Even uses Jonah's life as an illustration to demonstrate the gospel. It's an amazing thing. Life went on for Jonah. We don't know what it looked like, but we know that it did. You know what you need to do after you face disappointment? You need to get up and go on. God's not done with you yet. You're still alive and kicking. He's still got a purpose for you. You need to get up and go on. You say, how do I do that? Just do the next right thing. Just do what you should do today. You say, well, what about the rest of my life? You don't have to have it all figured out right now. But you can do what you're supposed to do today. You can ask God to give you the strength to get up out of bed in the morning. Let's start there, okay? Make your coffee, all right? Everybody's life will be better if you drink coffee, all right? Go to work, love your kids, clean your house. I'm so depressed. I'm so disappointed. I get it. You're going to have to trust God to help you go on. He's not done with you yet. If you're going to face your disappointment, that's one of the steps right there. Listen, I'm over time. And so I want to wrap this up very, very quickly here. I said to you at the beginning, and I'll say it to you again in conclusion here, God often works in ways that don't line up with your expectations. Are you disappointed with God? Are you disappointed with what God's allowed in your life today? The Bible is trying to help you. You might see the products of disappointment in your life. You're disillusioned. You're distraught. You're wanting to dissent. You're wanting to cop out on God. That's where you're at. You need to listen to the prescription that God has given to us from His Word today. You review that disappointment. Relax. Choose to rely on the Lord and trust Him even though you don't understand what He's doing. Recalibrate your perspective. And then you return to what God wants you to do with your life. That's how you deal with disappointment. Great message that we see from the life of Jonah, and may it be so in our own lives here today. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes together. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.